Who comes to your mind when you think about someone who is passionate? Who comes to your mind when you think about someone that you have witnessed or maybe even know? Someone who is passionate. Who comes to your mind? Maybe you're thinking about someone who is extremely enthusiastic about something or someone. Maybe you're thinking about someone who's deeply devoted and committed to whatever they do. Who comes to your mind when you think about someone who is passionate? This morning we're continuing Streams of Water, our 40 Days of Devotion series, and we are doing, we are looking at six important biblical values that we see in Scripture that we as a church are seeking by God's grace with His help to live out in our lives individually and as a church. Now, typically here at the Stream, we go verse by verse through books of the Bible. We finished a year-long series in 1 Corinthians just a few weeks ago. And following the series, we're going to be doing about a six to eight month series in the book of Psalms. And so typically, we go verse by verse through books of the Bible. But this morning and these next few weeks, we are doing a special, a little more topical type series, looking at some biblical values in Scripture that, again, we want to see in our lives and individually and as a church. Last week, Mike Nelson shared an excellent message with our first Streams of Water core value, which we call the centrality of God's Word. And this morning, I'm going to be doing the second one, which is called passionate spirituality. God wants you and me to have a passionate spirituality. But a fair question would be is, what is that? What is a passionate spirituality, and how can we have a passionate spirituality in our lives? How can you have a passionate spirituality in your life, and how can you deepen that or develop that further? How can that passionate spirituality grow or be greater in your life even today? So let's take a look at some scriptures this morning, and let's talk about this. But before we do, please join me in prayer. God, we come to you thankful that we can come to you because of Jesus, and that we can come and pray and ask you for help and ask you to be at work in our lives. God, we thank you that you are more committed to our growth than even we are, that you want it more than we do even. And your word says that you began a good work in us and that you would promise to carry it on to completion to the day of Christ Jesus. And I pray that even this morning you'd be stirring in our hearts and fanning into flame a greater fire and passion for you, and that a greater, deeper love for you that would lead to incredible things for your glory and for your name and for your good purposes and our good. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to be passionate? What does it mean to be passionate? Webster's Dictionary defines passionate as capable of, affected by, or expressing intense feeling. I like that. Capable of, affected by, or expressing intense feeling. Synonyms for passionate include loving, adoring, fervent, zealous, and enthusiastic. So the idea of passionate certainly brings out this idea of an intense emotional affection and expression. Now that we know what passion means, let's address the question, what is passionate spirituality? I'm going to go through several things about passionate spirituality in a few moments, but for now, let's look at a description that we have on this core value directly out of our membership manual and directly on our webpage. If you were to be looking for churches and wanted to kind of know what kind of church the Stream is and what is important to us, you're going to come to a part that talks about our values, and this is one of our values. This is our second Streams of Water core value, and this is what we have written on our website. Passionate spirituality, in parentheses, we have Mark 12, verse 30, Psalms 42, 1 and 2, Psalm 63, Psalms 150 as just examples, and Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, that's not the only places in the Bible to address this topic, but these are some places, some examples. And it says this, people are passionate about what they love. God calls us to love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12, verse 30. We want God, who Himself is love, 1 John 4, 7 through 12, to be our first love, Revelation 2, verse 4. We want our lives and our worship of God to engage every aspect of our being, including our feelings and our emotions. We will be a people that yearn and thirst for God as a deer does for streams of water. We will have a healthy and biblically balanced sense of expectation for God to meet with us and to work in and through our lives. At times, perhaps even powerfully, in accordance with His will. This value then has a broad range of meaning, okay? It relates to having a great love for God, and that's really at the core of it. It relates to having a fervent commitment to Him, a zeal about doing His will. It relates to seeking God, to pursuing God, and responding to God. It also relates to our deepest desires. What are your deepest desires? Even our emotions and feelings are to be engaged in this. Something that the famous theologian from the 1700s you perhaps have heard, and if you haven't heard, I encourage you to discover who he is, Jonathan Edwards. Jonathan Edwards wrote a classic work titled The Religious Affections. And so Edwards calls what we're talking about here the affections. You know? And you think about that. That's a great word to describe what it means to delight in God, to desire God, and to love and live for Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If these things describe what a passionate spirituality is, the next question that's important for you and me then is, how can we be passionate? How can passionate spirituality be promoted in our lives as individuals and as a church? How can it be prominent in the sense that it's central? And how can it be promoted, meaning how can it develop? By promoted, I mean how can passionate spirituality be cultivated? How can it be enhanced? How can it be built up or stirred up or fanned into flame or whatever picture kind of comes to your mind? We're going to look at four ways that passionate spirituality can be promoted in our lives this morning. The first one is this. Passionate spirituality is promoted through faith in the person and position of God. So you could write, if you're taking notes, passionate spirituality is promoted, and we're going to have four ways. And the first one is through faith in the person and position of God. Passionate spirituality, as I've mentioned, begins with the object of our affections. Who is the object of our affections? Well, that is God. God Himself. It is who He is. It is His character. It is His position. It is His status. It is who He is as a person, as God Himself. He is to be the object of our faith. He is to be the one and the only one we are ultimately to worship. He's our Creator. He's the giver of life. He is the standard of justice and righteousness, the standard of all truth, and the source of all love. God Himself is love. When God reveals Himself to you and me, we begin understanding and grasping as much as we reasonably can with our finite minds, and we cannot fully grasp God. I don't believe we fully can. But God reveals Himself to us, but God is so great that He's beyond what we probably can even comprehend. One of the verses in Job says, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? And the implied answer is no. He's just so great. Isaiah says, His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts than our thoughts. So God is so much greater than what we can comprehend. But God does reveal Himself to you and me, and we can know Him. And when you think about who He is, and you think about what He has done, especially in what He has done through Jesus Christ, our understandable response is one of being passionate for Him. This passion can continue to be promoted or cultivated or enhanced or built up as we continue to have faith in Him. As we continue to set our object and our focus and kind of tune in to Him, we can get to know Him more. We can understand Him more, and our passion can grow. Passionate spirituality then starts with being passionate about God. He is the object of our affections for our passion. Because look, there's a lot of things that people can be passionate about. And it's not wrong to be passionate about certain things. But what our primary passion must be about, what our ultimate passion must be about, is God Himself. Listen to what one of the most famous verses in the Bible says, Mark 29 and 30. Jesus answered, well, He's responding to someone who asked Jesus, what is the most important commandment? Jesus answered, the foremost is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Think about these verses. Who are we to love? Ultimately, it is God, the one Lord, our God. He is to be our first and our greatest love, our greatest passion. How are we to love Him? Notice it says, not with some, not when we feel like it, but rather with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Jesus is essentially saying that we are to love God wholeheartedly, completely, with everything within our entire being. We are to love God passionately. Let's also look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Here we will see what motivates us to love God in this way. And this kind of, the first one kind of relates to who God is. This one kind of relates to some things about not just who God is, but what He's done. In 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, "For the love of Christ controls us," or one translation says, "compels us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves," meaning only for themselves, "but for Him ultimately who died and rose again on their behalf." So we are to ultimately not live for ourselves. We are ultimately to live for Him who died and rose again on our behalf. The motivation then for having a passionate love for God, which in turn results in a motivation to live for Him and not just live for ourselves, is God's love for us. And it's God's love for us demonstrated through Jesus and His sacrificial death on the cross in our place for our sins. It's like a spur that pressed against a horse causes that horse to giddy up and go. When you contemplate what Christ has done for you through His sacrifice, that love compels you. It urges you on. It motivates you to love and live for God. It leads you to respond in a passion for Him. One of my passions growing up, and probably really to some degree to this day, definitely is swimming. I grew up swimming most of my life, and I swam all the way through the collegiate level. And there were times in my life before I was a Christian, and I became a Christian in college, where I think my passion for swimming was really my primary passion. And it was almost became an unhealthy passion, where a lot of my self-worth and my focus was really connected too much to swimming. My life revolved around it. And though swimming was enjoyable and satisfying to a degree, it never ultimately satisfied me. It never ultimately gave me a sense of significance and value. If I succeeded in meeting a goal, that was nice, but the satisfaction was short-lived and I always wanted more. I had to go faster, I had to win more, I had to train more, I had to try to reach the next level of success. If I didn't succeed, I'd be down, and I'd feel bad, I'd feel discouraged, and I'd feel empty. And a big part of my testimony is how after I became a Christian in college, God helped me to put it in a proper perspective. And it wasn't always easy to do that, and I had plenty of struggles with that. But God showed me that I started to learn that my primary passion and pursuit in my life had to be something different, and that had to be God. And what I found as I started to learn about God and started to get to know Him is that He was the one who ultimately satisfied me. He gave me what no other accomplishment in my life, whether in swimming or school or nothing that my friends could give me. He gave me what only He could give, and that was the ultimate satisfaction. Satisfaction is ultimately to be found in God. And as we learn about who He is and what He's done for us, and we learn that He ultimately fulfills what we need, that gives us a sense of passion. And it helps us to see that He is to be our primary passion. Couple questions on this first point for you and me to consider. Is God your primary passion? Is He your primary passion? It's okay to be passionate about other things. That's great. But is your ultimate primary passion God? Second, are you growing in your passion for Him? Is that passion increasing? Is it developing? Or is your passion kind of fading? Are you feeling sort of complacent in this area of your life? If you can look back on your life and say, you know, 10 years ago I was way more passionate about God than I am now, take a look at why that might be. Because as you get to know Him more and get to develop in a relationship with Him more, that passion can grow, not fade. And God wants that passion to grow. So is it growing? So we've seen the first way passionate spirituality can be promoted. Now let's look at a second way. A second way passionate spirituality is promoted is through praise and prayer to God. Through praise and prayer to God. Praise and prayer essentially refers to communicating with God and spending time with Him. Both praise and prayer can involve telling God about what you love about Him, who He is, what He does, how you're thankful. Praise is often put to music and is one major aspect of what we call worship. Praise and worship can be described as singing love songs to God. Prayer can involve both telling God what you love about Him, as well as telling God about what you love about what He's done for you. Not just who He is, but also expressions of gratefulness and thankfulness for what He has done in your life. So definitely prayer can include thanksgiving. Prayer can also include specific requests, specific needs that you're bringing to God before, and acknowledging your desperate dependence upon Him in your life. Scripture is loaded with passages related to praise and prayer. Let's look at a few of them. Colossians 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Notice that phrase, whatever you do in word or deed. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Notice that that is mentioned right after singing. I find that interesting. When we worship through singing, it gives us perspective. It helps us to focus on God. It helps us to zoom in and tune in to the object of our worship, God Himself. It stirs our affections and our love for Him. It promotes passion. Another passage, this was in our devotional just yesterday, is 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. This was day 13 of the devotional. These verses describe what happened during the reign of Solomon when the temple was being dedicated. The newly built temple of God was dedicated. And notice it talks about prayer and praise that was going on here. The trumpeters and singers joined in unison, as with one voice, to give praise and thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raised their voices in praise to the Lord and sang, He is good, His love endures forever. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with a cloud, and the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. I love the picture here of what's going on. As the people are praising and worshiping God, the glory of the Lord becomes present in a cloud. It fills the temple, so much so that the priests couldn't even fulfill their ministry. They were probably on their faces. They were so in awe that the very presence of God was in their midst that it was like they could hardly move. As we sing to the Lord, as we pray, we are interacting with God Himself. And I think we forget that. You know, I think sometimes I'm singing and I'm like, yeah, this is a song. I kind of like this one. You know, and that's great. You know, but I think what we forget sometimes is who we're singing the songs to, and actually that we are in the very presence of God as we do that. As we meet with God, as we experience God, it promotes our passion for Him. Think about times when you've been worshiping and you've had a sense of God's presence. Maybe that was as you were worshiping. I mean, I've had times driving in my car and I put on some worship music, and that's usually one of the best places for me because I can sing as loud or as off key as I want. Nobody knows. But have you ever felt moved as you've worshiped God? You know, and oftentimes in the congregation, as we're worshiping together and God's people together are gathered to worship and sing, do you not sense the presence of God? Have you been moved by that? That's the kind of thing that's being talked about here. God is in our midst, and He's moving us and stirring the love and the affection we have for Him. He is stirring the passion that you have for Him, and He's actually interacting with your very soul. It's a very powerful picture of God's love for you. James chapter 4 says, draw near to God and He will draw near to God, to you. There's this beautiful intimacy that can happen as you're worshiping God. Passionate spirituality is promoted through prayer and praise. Let's also read Philippians 4, 6 and 7. This was actually from this today's devotional. I looked at this morning before church. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As we pray, we are told here, we are invited here, that we can pray about anything. You can pray about everything. And we, when we pray, we can experience the peace of God, which guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, helping us live according to His will. When you think about the relationships that you have with friends, with families, with people that you know and love, a healthy and major foundational part of that relationship is your communication. Right? It's through interacting and talking, or in our day and age, texting and emails even, right? That we're interacting and we're aware of what's going on in people's lives, even in other parts of the world. It was a video chat through Facebook Messenger with a couple that I'm going to do a wedding for in the next few weeks. And, the groom is in the United States. The bride is in a foreign country. And I was in awe that we were literally talking to somebody. It was a day later. You know, for our time, it was in the afternoon, but for her, it was a day later. And we're all interacting, you know, like we're, you know, it's on my computer right in front of me, like we're all in the same room. You know, and the beauty of communication is that you get to know, the relationship can grow. And that same kind of thing happens with God. If we are not listening to Him through where He ultimately speaks to us is through His Word. And if we are not communicating with Him ourselves through prayer, through worship, through praise, then how are we really going to be able to build that relationship? Right? I mean, put two people in a room and just sit there and don't speak for 3 days. They're not going to really get to know each other a whole lot. But you interact and you discuss, you talk about things. There's a wonderful privilege and opportunity to do that. Praise and prayer promotes passion. It helps us communicate with God. It helps us know Him more. It helps us to have His perspective. And as we do these things, it often results that we're moved to love Him more and more and live for Him. Think about times when you've been struggling with something, or you've been down, or you're facing difficulties, or you have burdens or cares and concerns in your life. Our life is filled with all kinds of difficulties and struggles. A phrase I've been saying to a lot of people lately that I came across some time ago, and it's been on my heart lately, is that we're fallen people who live in a fallen world, and sometimes it falls on us. And I don't take credit for that statement. It's an author that I came across that I read that. And I think, isn't that true? And so when we're feeling that, as fallen people in a fallen world, and we're feeling like it falls on us, what better place to go than to the Lord with those concerns? And Philippians 4, 6, and 7, our devotional today, invites us to pray to Him about those things. And look what it says. It says, the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You can be freed from the anxiety. You can be freed from the struggle. And that doesn't mean He instantaneously takes it away. But He can help you and walk with you through that. And He can give you His peace through it. A couple questions to consider for you and me on this point. This second point. Is praise and prayer a part of your life? It has to be a part of our lives. We can't get to know God well without communicating with Him. It must be a part of your life. A second question, how can it be more of a part of your life? And I don't have that on the slide, but please consider the second question. How can praise and prayer be more a part of your life? There's lots of great choices for worship music out there in all kinds of different ways and styles of music. There is lots of ways you can pray to God. There are tools to help you to learn to pray. I'm reading an excellent book by Dr. Tim Keller right now titled Simply Prayer. I think there's a subtitle to it. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head. But there's resources to help you learn what it means to pray. But the best way to learn is just by doing it. Prayer is talking with God. Just start conversing with Him. Tell Him who He is. Tell Him what you love about Him. Tell Him what you're thankful for. Tell Him what you're sorry about, the imperfections in your life. Confess your sins to Him. Go to Him with your cares and concerns and your needs. Pray for other people, and you will find your connection with God will grow. You will find your passion will be promoted. What I love about prayer, too, is that you can do it anywhere, anytime throughout your day. Our devotional this morning on this topic said, you know, you can have an ongoing conversation with God throughout the day. One of the verses in 1 Thessalonians talked about praying without ceasing, and our devotional today talked about that. You know, you can have this ongoing interaction with God throughout the day. That doesn't mean you're sitting just, you know, there and just praying all day. but it's literally in the midst of your day before a meeting, God help me for this meeting. You know, you're interacting with somebody and they're hurting. God, give me wisdom to help this person. In the midst of literally why they're talking to you. You know, you're listening, but you know, there's this ongoing dialogue and interaction that we can have with God. And He's there anywhere, anytime throughout your day. Prayer is a great thing to do. Consider prayer in your private prayer life, but also consider the benefits and blessings of praying with another person. There's something powerful about praying with another person. And you know, one of the things that's been really cool in the history of this church, and this is pretty much true from the get-go, right out of the gate when we started this church, is this has been a church that values this. And I can remember in the very early days of this church, when we first started the church in a house, church would end and you would literally see people paired up, like just people hanging out. They would go to one part of the, you know, some people step outside and they're talking and they're praying for each other. You'd see three or four ladies gathered over somewhere and they're praying for each other. And this was literally when we were in a house and it was like church was over and we were like getting the pancakes going and we were getting the football games on and we were about to hang out. But before people did that, they were usually taking a moment. How you doing? What can I pray for you? You know, and I continue to see that in this church, in our house groups, in our interactions with people. Let's continue to make this a part of our lives. A third way passionate spirituality is promoted. Passionate spirituality is promoted through experiencing the power and presence of God. It is promoted through experiencing the power and presence of God. When you actually experience something that is quite a thrill, you understandably tend to even be more thrilled about it. Think about the last thing that you experienced that was amazing. Maybe you went to a restaurant, you're like, oh, that food was incredible. Did you tell somebody about it? Did you want, I got to take you to this restaurant, you got to love this, you know? I mean, anything in your life that you've experienced that's pretty thrilling, it's something you want to experience again. Have you ever climbed a mountain and seen the view from the top? You're going to want to climb more mountains. Well, maybe. You know, some, it's kind of painful sometimes, you know, kind of hard to climb all the way to the top at altitude. You've been to the beach and you've seen the beauty of a sunset. You want to go back to the beach, right? You've sat in a kayak and paddled around in a beautiful lake. You want to go back. You've done some stand-up paddle boarding, which I highly recommend, a beautiful lake. You want to go back and do it again. Yeah. You know, people that like to go scuba diving again. People that have bungee jumped and like bungee jumping want to go bungee jumping again. You know? I mean, it's almost unlimited what it could be, right? But when we experience things that we love, people that love music want to hear great music again. People who love literature want to read great literature again. I could go on and on. When I was a kid growing up, I lived literally just a few miles from, this is pretty amazing for a playground for a kid, but I lived just a few miles from a famous amusement park in Cincinnati, Ohio called Kings Island. And all of my friends would get season passes, and one mom would drop us off after breakfast and another mom would pick us up after dinner, before dinner. And so we could basically, you know, be sent with $3 and enough to get lunch, which back in the day got you a lunch, got you a slice of pizza and a glass of water or something. And we would go to this playground of riding these roller coasters in this amusement park. It was pretty fun. We didn't go every day, but we went, you know, often 2-3 times a week during the summer. And, you know, one of the rides that they had there is called the Beast. Funny name. But at the time, the Beast was the fastest roller coaster in the world. It was the fastest wooden roller coaster in the world. And it was a like 4.5 minute long ride. And I remember the first time I rode the Beast, I was like, oh my gosh, that was incredible. And I think I went back around and got in line again to ride it again. And a lot of times when my friends and I would go to Kings Island, let's go check out the Beast. You know, let's see what the line is like for the Beast, and we'd ride the Beast, you know? The roller coaster was such a thrill. And I want you to think of something like this, because like when you experience God and you've experienced His presence and His power, you want to experience that again. Now, there are wonderful promises that God is with us always. He's always with us. But the reality is there are times when God does a special, like there's times when we experience His presence in powerful ways. We experience specific answers to prayer. We experience the beauty of who He is. I was driving in looking at the mountains this morning and the snow on. I mean, there's just times when you're feeling this connection with God and you're experiencing His goodness. When you're reading the Bible, right? There's times when you read the Bible and it feels maybe, yeah, that was cool. I learned some things. Then there's times when you're reading the Bible, it's like, wow! It really jumps out at you. This is what I'm talking about, right? Like, if you have this wow moment when you're reading the Bible, does that motivate you to not want to get into it the next day? Absolutely, right? You go on a mission trip to Guatemala, and you see these kids that you give shoes to crying their eyes out with thanksgiving or jumping for joy. You're like, I wish everybody in my church could go with me to Guatemala and see this. I mean, it's stirred. You've experienced God through ministry or through something He's done, and you want to experience it again, and you want others that you love to experience it. That's what we're talking about here. Let's look at some scripture. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." Look at what this says. In God's presence is the fullness of joy. Are you looking for some joy in your life? It's right here with Him. The fullness of joy, the joy that you're looking for, is right here with Him. And yet we are so prone, I am so prone, to look for it elsewhere. If I just had this, or if I just got to go to this vacation, or I just got to do this, or I just had this day off, or I just, and those things are not bad. It's okay to enjoy those things. But our ultimate joy, right? The fullness of joy is right with Him in your relationship with Him. Let's consider the responses that some people had in the Bible when they encountered and experienced personally the presence and power of God. Just a few. Remember the woman that encounters Jesus? Look with me at Luke 7:37-39. "And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that He," meaning Jesus, "was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind Him at His feet weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears, and kept wiping them with the hair of her head, and kissing His feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Him," meaning Jesus, "saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner.'" And then Jesus, who can read minds, Jesus talking with this Pharisee says this, "For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, because he who is forgiven little, but he who is forgiven little loves little." This woman loved much. Why? She had experienced the presence and power of God in forgiving her of her sins. I remember vividly, and I'm going to share this because this verse just jumped out at me right now. I remember vividly that within a couple weeks after I had prayed to receive Christ, I remember this like it was yesterday. I am in my dorm room at Purdue University on the floor weeping because I was thankful at what God had done for me. When I was really starting to experience the reality of God's grace and forgiveness in my life as a newly converted Christian, I was moved to, on my face, on my dorm floor, which probably wasn't the cleanest place, and just weeping. Because God had touched my life and God had impacted it and forgiven me. Have you ever experienced God and been moved this way like this woman is here? There's a very normal and legitimate response to the power and presence of God at work in you or around you. Let's look at another response. You remember the crippled beggar that Peter and John met in Acts 3? Look at this. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood up and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. If you were crippled and you encountered God and He healed you and you were able to walk, you would be leaping and jumping and praising God like this guy was. One chapter later, listen to the response of the disciples. Have after they are told not to speak any more about Jesus. They're told by the religious leaders, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. This is their response. We cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. What have they seen and heard? They had experienced the resurrected Christ. You see, when you experience the thrill of the presence and the power of God in your life, when you experience the reality of what He has done for you, it creates, it promotes, it prompts a passionate response. And look, not everybody is the real expressive type. And I'm not suggesting that we all need to be people that are highly emotive or expressive. People are going to respond differently, perhaps, and to different degrees. I'm talking about what's really going on right here in your heart. Is there a passion for there? And look, the guy who's kind of quiet and praying and seems kind of a really like a laid-back guy could have a greater passion than somebody who's, you know, really expressive and sings loudly or something. You know, I'm not suggesting it's the degree to which you express things. But we see real responses here that are powerful in Scripture. Several years ago, when I was in campus ministry, it's a cool story. Some students from Purdue went down to the University of Tennessee during our spring break. And one of the things that was cool that we did was we'd go hiking in the mountains and backpacking. But then we would also, I can't remember if it was before or after we had gone to campus. I think we went hiking and did the mountains first and backpacking. And we eventually spent like the last half of spring break working with the campus ministry at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And basically we would pair up a guy and a girl and go out and talk to students and sort of interview them about what their thoughts and what their beliefs were about God. And we would look for opportunities to talk to them about the love of Jesus. And I was a campus minister at the time, and so I was paired with a girl in our ministry who was pretty much a brand new Christian herself. And, I mean, she probably had met Christ like within the last couple of months, and here she is on a mission trip. She's going out to talk to people about Jesus. So I was paired with her to kind of lead the way. And so before we went out to talk to some students and interview them, we prayed. We said, God, lead us today and give us the words to say and help us to share your love with people. And, you know, and so we pray that prayer, amen. And we go out, and the first person we go up and talk to is a girl sitting by herself outside the student union. And, we go up and, hi, my name's Kevin. This is, you know, I won't say her name, the girl that I was with. And we're from Purdue University. We're actually on our spring break and we're coming down and we're just talking to students about what their thoughts are about spiritual things and about God. Could we ask you a few questions? She's like, sure. She's kind of bored. She looked kind of bored. And I'm not kidding. We talked to this girl for about 20 minutes. And, the girl I'm with gets to share how she became a Christian. We're sharing and explaining what Jesus has done. We share the gospel. Christ died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. But within 20 minutes, this girl prayed to receive Christ. Now, keep in mind, the girl that I'm with, who had just become a Christian 2 or 3 months before, this is the first time she's ever talked to anybody about Jesus or ever shared her faith. And her jaw just like, I'll never forget her face. She's like, we're walking away and we're like, yeah, we need to go pray and give thanks to God for what just happened. And her face was just like, that was awesome. Yeah. Well, it was neat for me to see that girl went on and end up marrying my roommate. And, she became a doctor. She became a medical missionary and they are active leaders in their church to this day. You know, now she had just become a Christian. She experienced God personally in her life, but then she experienced God using her and impacting someone else's life. And her life's been devoted to that ever since. Pretty cool, huh? Right? So God, when we encounter Him, when we experience the presence and power of God, it promotes our passion. Do you want to experience the presence and power of God? Seek God. As we spend time with Him, as we spend time seeking and learning and growing in this relationship, communicating with all the things we've been talking about, taking steps of faith, being around other Christians, we will likely experience the presence and power of God. Now we can't manufacture that. We can't kind of just say, okay, this is, you know, but there is a reality that when we are seeking God and seeking to draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And there's times that God works when we least expect it. And there's probably times when we're, you know, experiencing God's presence and power that we miss. But I would say pray about growing and seeking God and pursuing Him and looking for opportunities, and God may show you exactly something specific or profound that you'll know it's Him. That might be an answer to prayer. It might be a comfort from him. It might be an awareness of his presence. It might be the grace of his forgiveness, all the things we've been talking about. Okay, lastly, one more. A fourth way passionate spirituality can be promoted is, passionate spirituality is promoted through faith in the promises and purposes of God. In the promises and purposes of God. The promises of God refer to what God's Word tells us are true. And as we heard in Mike's message last week on the centrality of the Word, that the Bible gives us understanding about God, about ourselves, and about the world around us. The purposes of God refer to God's will, also to what God is doing and accomplishing in the world around us. God wants you and me. He wants His people to live by His will, to live by His purposes, and to do good works. And when we trust and live by the promises and purposes of God, we are doing His will. We are living in His ways. The great thing is that we live by God's promises and purposes, that when we do, it promotes our passion for God. When we are doing God's will, we experience the blessings of doing God's will. There is joy that comes from doing God's will. When we see God at work in the world around us, when we see God at work in us, when we do good works, it makes us have joy. It leads us to have a passion for God. Let's look at some scriptures. Listen to Titus 2 with me. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession. And here's the part I want you to get. It's all good. I want you to get all of it. But especially this part relates to passion spirituality. Zealous for good deeds. Have you ever met somebody who had a zeal? Yeah. Have you ever had a zeal for something yourself? When we understand the truth of what God has done in redeeming us from sin and making us His people, that leads us to be zealous for Him. Not in a way that we're you know, jerks about it or rude to people. You know, zealous, the zealots in Scripture were sometimes the ones that wanted to go kill people. Not zealous and not like crazy that do something contradictory to the Word of God. But a zeal for God, a zeal for Him and for His Word and doing His will and all that He defines it as. Passionate spirituality is promoted by the promises and purposes of God. And lastly, well, a couple more here. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and 10. Listen to this. The grace of God, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. What I want you to see here is that not only is salvation a gift to you from God, but in receiving that gift from God, that leads us to be people that want to do good works. When you know that you are God's workmanship, that makes you want to do good works. When Jillian understands that it's her faith in Christ that's central in her life, she wants to do good work. She wants to devote her spring break to going to Guatemala and give shoes to kids. You know, when you understand what God has done for you, you want to skip Sunday brunch, or at least not do it at 10 a.m., and you want to come and worship with God's people. And you want to learn from the Word of God. There's things that it leads you to do. It leads you to want to do good works. Knowing who God is and who you are in Him and what He has done for you, what He promises, motivates you to live for God and to do His will. And lastly, Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And the desires of your heart will be those that line up with His will. This is a command. It's a command. Delight yourself in the Lord. This command is to have a passionate spirituality for God. You and I are commanded to have a passionate spirituality for God. We are commanded to have a delight in Him. So we've seen passionate spirituality is promoted through faith in the promises and purposes of God. That's the point we just did. That was point 4. Passionate spirituality is promoted through experiencing the power and presence of God. That was point three. Passionate spirituality is promoted through praise and prayer to God. That was point two. And we saw that passionate spirituality is promoted through faith in the person and position of God. That's point one. In light of these things that we've seen, here's a couple final application questions for you and me. What's your primary passion? Said differently, what are you most passionate about? May it be God. It must be God. If it's not, turn to Him. Go to Him. Tell Him in prayer that you want Him to be. Another question to consider is what will help promote passionate spirituality in you? Perhaps one of these points particularly resonates with you. Maybe you feel the need to worship more. Maybe you feel the need to pray more. Maybe you feel the need to be around other believers more. Maybe you want to seek to experience God's presence and power more. Maybe you need to spend more time reading and learning God's word and understanding so you can trust His promises and His purposes for your life. Maybe you need to seek to live out those promises and purposes more. Maybe it's doing more good works and it's seeking, how can I do more good works that honor and reflect my faith in Christ and what He's done for me? What will help promote passionate spirituality in you? Well, I know one thing that will help, and that'll be to ask God. So let's do that right now in prayer. God, we come to You, and we want to thank You for what You've done and all of who You are. And it's who You are and what You've done that promotes a passionate spirituality in us. And God, as we come and conclude our worship service today, we want to do so by remembering what You've done for us in the body and blood that You shed and gave for us. So God, as we do what You've told us to do in remembrance of You, we pray that the crackers and the juice that symbolize the body and blood of Christ would be done in remembrance of You this morning. We come afresh and anew, committing our lives to You, asking forgiveness for our sins, and asking You to be our primary passion. And may that passion grow. And may we love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love and live for You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Here at the Stream, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you're welcome to participate with us. So as the worship team leads us in a final song of worship at any point, feel free to go to either table, grab a cracker and juice. You can take that back with you, and encourage you to take that as an act of worship and pray to God about some of the things that He's laying on your heart from today. In Jesus' name. All right. Yeah.